3:42 in the morning. Matt Bubala here with you on 720 WGN. The Prime Minister of New Zealand called it the darkest day in New Zealand's history. Our friend Robert Bartholomew, who you remember, he's been on the show many times with us, mostly talking about mass hysteria in relation to what happened in Cuba with the alleged sonic attacks. But he's a professor out there, and we thought it would be a good time to check in with him out there in New Zealand. Good morning, Robert. How are you, sir?
Well, most of New Zealand is still in shock here, I can tell you that. It just goes to show there's no place to hide from this stuff.
Well, you know, it's interesting because whenever we have an incident like this here, a mass shooting, we'll talk about all the other countries in the world that have that this never happens at. In fact, we often say it never happens anywhere else but here. And this is one of the rare times a mass shooting has happened in another country. Your prime minister there said our gun laws will change. But it's interesting, what are the gun laws of New Zealand? How many people own guns? Is gun ownership common there?
I think it's about one in three that own guns, and they have them for hunting primarily. But the thing is, I was in Australia a number of years ago in the late 90s when they had the Martin Bryant case in Tasmania. You had a mass shooting there of 30-some-odd people were killed. And then after that, they clamped down on guns. They had a buyback program, and they made it so you couldn't get an automatic gun. And, you know, I think that's what they're going to look at here. I don't know why anybody needs, you know, automatic guns or what are almost literally machine guns. I think that would help to mitigate the problem. But I think it's time to stop mincing words. It's time to start giving more than condolences and sympathies. It's time to take some type of concrete action, whether it's in New Zealand or whether it's in the United States. And I do think, and your listeners might not like what I have to say, but I think the Trump administration has consistently failed to call out white supremacists from Charlottesville and elsewhere. What do you think is going to happen? And it's not surprising that this guy here in New Zealand, I won't mention his name, referred to Muslim immigrants as invaders in his manifesto. Those are very similar to words to what Donald Trump was using to drum up fear and foster hatred in the United States. And what really makes me sad as an American living in New Zealand is that my great-great-grandfather was a congressman, and he was a Republican. I see so many Republicans staying silent on this issue, whether it's Charlottesville or other issues related to things like white supremacy. And I just think it's time to speak up and not be afraid of the consequences. You know, it shouldn't matter what party you're in or what the party says. Right is right, wrong is wrong, and this stuff is wrong. I mean, white supremacy scientifically does not have a basis. All humans come from a single species, Homo sapiens. We share a common genetic heritage. And outside of our outer superficial trappings, our DNA is 99% identical. That is an established scientific fact. It should be part of every school curriculum.
Well, I mean, you're speaking about things that make sense, Robert, when we're talking about people who don't believe in things that make sense. I'm not referring to the Trump administration. That's a whole other topic we could certainly get into. But when you're talking about people who are white supremacists, they're not going to care what your science is behind any of this, right? They're off in their own little world on these things. And so I understand absolutely what you're saying, and the world needs to do. You know, we had the Tree of Life synagogue shooting here last year, and we have this attack. I mean, we have attacks all the time that are more random, but this one very specific, the Tree of Life one here in Pittsburgh, very specific because of their faith. And it is concerning because we've gotten to a point in America and maybe the world where we talk a lot about nationalism and speak very harshly about immigration. And so there is a lot of that fervor in the air. And I have no idea. I don't think I imagine we don't have any idea right now what the last couple of years of American politics, how that affected this person or not. But I think we can all agree that there has been a lot in the air in the last couple of years. Specifically speaking about what happened here, Robert, I'm reading from a story that said he carried out the killings with two semi-automatic weapons, two shotguns, and a lever-action firearm, which I have no idea what that means. But he didn't have the sounds like something as like the AK-47 here, which is a very fast, or the, we're not reading about bump stocks like we did in the shootings in Las Vegas from a couple of years ago. And so it's interesting. You were saying that you think they'll look into changing the gun laws. So are you saying that they shouldn't even be, or what they might look at is because automatic weapons, I believe, are banned here in the U.S. Semi-automatic is as close as you get, which is still very quick. So they should be even, you think they might look into a level below that so they can have firearms in the country, but they're not ones that could produce mass casualties very quickly like he was able to do here?
Yeah, in Australia, I remember they crimped guns and they modified them. So you can only fire once or twice, and then it was, you know, then you have to reload, and it takes time. And then in that time, people can get away. And, you know, I what we're really looking at here is a moral panic about Muslims and foreigners and migrants and asylum seekers. These are periods of exaggerated fear of outsiders who are wrongly viewed as a threat to our way of life, and they become scapegoats for society's problems. And this guy certainly had he was certainly a very angry person. And the problem is today, you can really reinforce any belief that you have, as far out as it may be, by searching on the internet and finding like-minded individuals, and it gives you a false sense of reality. You know, the reality is that migrants are less likely to commit crimes. That's true in the United States.
Yes.
Many take lower-paying jobs because no one wants them. They pay taxes, which lowers the overall tax burden. And certainly, in the United States and in most countries around the world, most acts of terrorism on American soil are homegrown. And, you know, that's the reality, but the perception is very different. And, you know, the Internet has so much stuff on there that's just not true. And, you know, we live in this age of so-called fake news, and people are sometimes at a loss to know what to believe.
Well, absolutely, and social media has played a big role in that. And there was a very weird twist in this, that this person actually started live broadcasting on social media, I believe on Facebook, the attack as he started it. And so I'm reading that New Zealand has gotten that pulled down, that the judge has ordered that there's cameras in the courtroom, but that the defendant, the accused, his face must be blurred out if they show pictures or video from the courtroom. You yourself said you're not going to say his name. I haven't said his name either. His name is in the story I read. It's interesting. I believe some countries have laws about not saying somebody's name in a case like this. The U.S. certainly does not. Do you think that should be something that we should do, Robert, in a case like this? Blur out the picture. Don't reveal his name. Don't give them what they were looking for.
You know, it doesn't make much difference to me at this point. It's, you know, the deed has been done. And there's no death penalty here in New Zealand. I think right now, if for some reason they were to bring it back for this case, I think, you know, if it's possible, but there is no death penalty in this country. And in Australia, when they had that terrible shooting in the late 90s, there was no death penalty there. The person is still in prison after killing 30-some-odd people. And it's so frustrating because history, if it doesn't repeat itself, it rhymes, and it keeps happening over and over again. And what are we doing other than saying, oh, this is terrible? What concrete actions are we taking to try to stop this from happening? There's such a warped perception out there when it comes to reality. The threat is real for Muslims. I mean, there are Muslims out there who are terrorists, but it's wildly exaggerated. I was looking at the statistics for last year. Each year, about 20 people in the United States are killed by cows. Dozens die in accidents involving lawnmowers. And last year, just over 5,000 people choked to death. You know, there is more of a threat to the average American from a chicken sandwich than there is from a terrorist and a Muslim terrorist. You know, it is just not part of the reality. But people have this warped sense of reality, and it gets reinforced by a lot of stuff that's out there on social media, and it's very frustrating.
Well, it's interesting, Robert, because then the gun lobby would say more people die from a chicken sandwich than die in mass shootings. We don't need to change these gun laws. These are deranged people. We have laws on the books that need to be enforced. There's always, you know, something to combat the call for changing the gun laws. What do you think of that?
Well, are these people deranged people, or are they just evil? You know, does this guy is he insane, or is he just angry and has a certain perception of the world? And they're saying tonight that, you know, I heard some earlier stories saying that this guy was Australian, which is apparently true, mm-hmm. and he came over here to do this. But apparently he's been living in this country for many years. And, you know, are they going to try to claim insanity? When a lot of these acts are just evil, and it's some kind of conformity to a small group norm. I mean, you go and look at the Nazis. And I always tell my students over here, you give me a 6-month-old baby, and I'll give you an A student and an upstanding citizen, or the best little Nazi you ever saw, because we are products of our environment. Mm-hmm. And in this case, a lot of these shootings that are happening, people are getting radicalized online and by involving themselves in these very small niche groups that give a warped perception of reality. And, you know, I think we have to really examine what's going on here online and have to do something to mitigate this in terms of why do we have to have guns that can fire more than, you know, a couple of bullets at once before you reload? I don't know why that's necessary. And I know a couple of times ago when we were talking about the sonic attack stuff, one of the lead-ins was about the militia in the United States and about the, you know, how we ended up getting guns and stuff like this. You know, I just don't see the necessity of this.
Well, and I agree with you, and I think a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people who advocate for stronger gun control, and I agree. I don't, you know, I think my guess, and I'm no, you know, constitutional scholar, but, you know, guns are around to protect yourself from the government or from your home, but either way, you're not going to protect yourself from the government. It's too big. It's too strong. I don't believe we need to be armed for an uprising, and you certainly don't need an AK-47 to protect your home. So I think there's a lot we could do to protect the Second Amendment and still protect people from people having the ability to produce mass casualties in a small amount of time like they can now. But
yep. And, you know, we always seem to have these scares. It's probably the biggest reason why I wrote the book American Intolerance, which looks at the demonization of immigrants in the United States and the history of that, which came out last year. It's widely believed that throughout much of American history, the U.S. has been very tolerant and welcoming of migrants, foreigners, refugees, asylum seekers, and that the current period now is an anomaly. But that's not true. Most of American history has been characterized by short periods of tolerance interspersed by lengthy periods of intolerance against Muslims, Jews, Catholics,
Irish,
the Japanese, the Chinese,
Italians,
the Germans, and on and on and on. Yeah. It always seems like we're in some type of moral panic against some evildoer.
Robert, can you hold on? We got to take a quick break for the news, but can you talk to us a little bit more?
Sure.
Excellent. I appreciate that. Hold on 1 second. Coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Badish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Matt Bubala here with you on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here in Chicago. Our friend Robert Bartholomew, the author of the book, the co-author of the book, American Intolerance, Our Darkest History, American Intolerance, Our Dark History of Demonizing Immigrants, is on the phone with us. He lives in New Zealand. He's a professor there. He's been on the air with us many times over the years, talking mostly about his writings about mass hysteria. Robert, thank you so much for holding on through the break. I appreciate it. So as you can imagine, as you mentioned at the front, when you started criticizing the Trump administration, then really talking about stricter gun control, you said a lot of your listeners may not agree with this. And they all are not, according to our text screen. But I want to read you three texts from people that have written in, and then get your reaction to it, because it's, you know, these are the arguments you get from the other side. So 309 wrote, "It's also wildly exaggerated that every white person is a racist. This is all about hate. Everybody hates everybody for some reason. People have been killing people since long before guns existed. They will continue to do it if or when guns are ever removed from society. Why do we have cars that drive faster than the speed limit?" And then the next one, "Making stricter gun laws isn't going to change the thing. People want to do something like this and harm people. They will find a way. If they don't have guns to hurt people in the mass quantity, then they'll just build a bomb or do something else. There's no getting around it. If they want to do it, they will do it. Don't punish the law-abiding citizens that don't do anything wrong with their rifles and other guns just because there are sick people who want to harm people." Another writes, "Hitler banned guns so Jews couldn't fight back. How did that work out? He just said we have to know our history." So those are the kinds of things that people are very, very scared of limiting our ability to purchase and own guns. I don't understand it. You know, for 8 years, we heard Barack Obama is coming for your guns, and we have more guns than ever. So I've never understood people's fear that if we limit guns, if we do better background checks, if we have longer waiting periods, that people will not be able to own guns. I guess the belief is that it's a slippery slope, and that somehow we'll end up without guns, which we hold so preciously dear here in this country. But those are the types of comments you get back. What do you think about that, Robert?
Well, look, these sound like sincere, honest, well-intending people. My comeback to that would be, first of all, background checks. People can steal guns, you can get them on the black market, so I'm not a big believer in background checks, but being against guns, I'm not against guns. You have the right to bear arms, have a gun, but I don't think that we should, there should be a limit on the types of guns that you have and how many bullets you can fire within a certain amount of time. And I certainly don't think in the year 2019 that even a semi-automatic weapon is going to help you if the military is coming for you, because the military is us. They are we. And it's so much more of a threat to people in society in general. So I'm not against the owning of guns, but I don't think we need to have guns that are fire so many bullets in such a short period of time. Now, that's not necessarily what happened here in New Zealand, but I mean, some of these weapons, I mean, he was firing off the guy in Las Vegas. I mean, why haven't they banned those bum stocks by now?
Well,
incomprehensible.
I thought we did take care of the bump stocks. I thought something happened with that. Roger, could you look that up, where we're at with the bump stocks in America?
Because yeah.
I thought that did happen.
There was something in Congress, but I don't think it was very wide sweeping. I think a lot of states are taking action, but I'll look it up for you.
Double check that for us. Thank you. And Robert, but that's what's going to happen here, though, is because this wasn't an AK-47. This isn't a bump stock situation. Gun rights activists are going to say, look, he didn't have those things that you want to ban. He still was able to pull this off. And there will continue to be the argument that, it's the people kill people, not guns argument, that they'll use a car, they'll use a bomb, they'll use this, they'll use that. But we never see it unless it's with guns or multiple guns or whatever it is that are able to kill people in a pretty quick amount of time and kill people in this massive a way. It's, you know, it's always guns that do these things right now.
I just think that the measures that are in place now aren't working, and we've got to try something different. And that trying something different doesn't mean I want to take away people's guns, but I think that there should be some restrictions on the guns that people have. And, you know, if this guy were only to fire a couple of shots at once and have to reload, people can run away. Or if somebody couldn't get a hold of a gun, if it's a knife, well, people can run away. And you're getting these massive massacres these days because of the technology. And look, if my understanding is they didn't ban the bump stocks, which seemed like a no-brainer to me, and if they can't ban something like that in the United States, I mean, what chance do we have to try to get our head around this issue? Because there are a lot of mentally disturbed people out there, but I also think it's a mistake to think that some of these people are just mentally disturbed. They may be angry, they may be evil, they might be isolated. You know, was every Nazi mentally disturbed? I don't think so. It was the power of the environment that they were in. And today, as I mentioned before, you can go on the internet and just have that niche world that you interact with and think that that's normal. I'll tell you something really disturbing. I have two friends who are, one's an American and one's a New Zealander, who are both overseas, and both of them, contacted me after this incident, and both essentially said that it's the Muslims' fault for all the terrorist attacks that's been going on, and then some apparent Christian has done something like this, or somebody calling himself a Christian doing something like this. It's you know, they're just finally fighting back. But if you look at the figures in America, for example, most terrorist incidents are domestic. They're homegrown.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, whenever you go online, you see the list of all the mass killings here in the U.S., they're almost exclusively white males. And that's generally how it goes.
I've got that information for you on the bump stock.
Yeah, Raj.
So apparently it's coming up really soon. The new rule goes into effect March 26th. So this is 90 days after it was originally filed in the Federal Register. The final rule clarifies the definition of machine gun in the Gun Control Act. This is from the ATF. And National Firearms Act includes bump stock type devices that allow a semi-automatic firearm to shoot more than one shot with a single pull of the trigger by harnessing the recoil energy of the semi-automatic firearm to which it's affixed so that the trigger resets and continues firing without additional physical manipulation of the trigger by the shooter. So
some sort of ban is going into effect.
Yeah, a nationwide ban of bump stocks is going into effect March 26th. So in another, 2 weeks almost. So that's I just found from the ATF website.
Texter just corrected me. I keep saying AK-47. AR-15 is the weapon that's used in most of the mass shootings here in the U.S., so I apologize about that. But
there's one other thing that's interesting, and that is police here in New Zealand, as a rule, do not carry guns with them. What they do is, and this is well known here, they usually have a rifle in the trunk of their car, and if there's a problem, they go to their car, get the rifle out, and use it. That's well known here, with one exception, and this is kind of odd. Recently, like in the past couple of weeks, there was a shooting incident in Christchurch, and until they found the subject, the police commissioner down there had ordered police officers in Christchurch to carry sidearms. And that's kind of ironic. And, that was a recent incident here. But as a rule, police officers, you won't walk around New Zealand and see any police officer with a sidearm. I've never seen it. Well, and they always have to run to the trunk of their car to get their gun if there's an incident.
Well, Robert, it'll be interesting to see what does change in the end here. The PM there says that the gun laws are going to change, but there's going to be an argument. Now that you tell us that, here's what the argument you're going to hear from the other side. You already know what it is. If these police would have been armed and ready, this attacker wouldn't have been able to incur all the damage that he did, wouldn't have been able to produce this carnage. But the police need to be better armed. I mean, here in the U.S., when the synagogue was attacked, people were saying they should have armed guards. I mean, that's always the rebuttal on the other side is we need more weapons. The good guys need weapons to be there. And so there's going to be talk that the police in New Zealand ought to be carrying sidearms and be ready to go when something like this happens.
Yeah, you know, I don't have the answer, but I think we have to do something different. The bomb stocks is a start. But if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you always got. And we have to do something different to try to change the roll of the dice here and what's happening, because what's happening is unacceptable. It's just unacceptable. And, of course, there are problems with the Internet as well and all sorts of issues around that. So it's a very complex issue. But the bottom line is, by the time people get, I think somebody's going to, if you want to get a gun, whether you're mentally disturbed or not, I think most people will be able to get a gun, you know, steal a gun, buy a gun on the black market. And so I'm not a big believer in background checks. I'm not sure how, you can just get around these things.
You will, if we're making it more difficult, then that's a good step, right? It should be more difficult, take more time. Hopefully that either prevents them from eventually doing it or gives more time for authorities or somebody to be alerted that this person is looking for a weapon. Anything that makes it harder, we would like. You talk about things have to change. I'll be very curious to see how things do or if they do change in New Zealand, because here in the U.S., somebody wrote this long ago and I've repeated it ever since. We said we're never going to change things once Sandy Hook happened. Once a bunch of innocent kids were slaughtered and we didn't change a gun law, that meant we're okay with this. This can happen in America and we're going to allow it to happen. So I don't count on things changing here.
The other issue is, and it's a huge issue, it wasn't that long ago where somebody had put plans online that you can download the plans
to 3D print your own,
actually make your own, like, plastic gun or whatever that actually fired. Now, it might not be, you know, rapid fire, but still, people getting this stuff off the Internet. And, there's bomb-making instructions on there as well. It's a really tricky situation with trying to balance out people's right to have access to information versus, you know, how far does it go? Plans for a nuclear bomb?
Yeah. Well, and that's the other question, right? I mean, people here are saying, oh, well, so this genius, now we need to ban the Internet. And so there's going to one extreme. But on the other extreme, if you're going to defend your right, if we're not going to call for any gun restrictions ever, well, then why can't people just have bazookas? When are people going to be able to, you know, have bombs? What should there's no lower limit restriction that you're willing to go along with because you think, oh, next we ban the Internet, next we ban this, you have to ban everything. Well, what's the upper limit? Where do things get banned? If we should have semi-automatic weapons, why not automatic? Why not something bigger? Why can't you own a tank? I mean, are there any plays that places where we actually draw the line either on either side? Everybody gets, you know.
I think we need the Internet, and in situations we need guns, but there need to be limits, and the limits that are on there now are not acceptable. I think that's clear. Something different has to be tried.
Well, that's the thing that we always run into, right? Can we take one quick call before we let you go, Robert?
Sure.
Hold on one second. Let me try to make sure you're locked in, and let's say hi to Jim in Crestwood. Jim, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say I'm not against guns. You should be allowed to own a gun, but I think the gun owner should have to have some form of insurance, you know, because like concealed carry, okay, somebody does something to me, and then I go to shoot that person, but I miss and I hit the other person. And also, when you get rid of a gun, you know, too many people say, well, I gave it to my uncle or I sold it. As soon as they get rid of that gun, they should be responsible for telling the authorities that they no longer have that gun and who that gun went to.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Jim. I appreciate the call, and I think that's the type of thing that has been fought against, universal background checks and all, you know, a gun registry, things like that. People not only want their guns, they really want to protect their privacy with their guns, it seems like. Robert,
Obviously, you don't really need a semi-automatic weapon to do that, though, do you?
No, you don't. And I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. I mean, I think that there is a middle that people can meet in, that we can, you know, you have a rifle to protect your house, have a six shooter, have things like that. And I know we're never going to get away from all that, but the ability for people to kill people and create mass casualties like this, you're right. Something needs to change. It's not going to change here in America. We've gone over this. We go over it all the time. We've killed people in churches. We had the synagogues. We've had little kids in grade schools. We had people at nightclubs. We had people in Las Vegas. We've pretty much covered just about everywhere we could do mass shootings, and nothing has said to the American people, we have to do something to try to prevent this from happening. So New Zealand will be interesting to see, because it's a country that does have guns right now. The PM has said we're going to change our gun laws. It'll be very interesting to see what does happen. Robert, I'm very sorry for what went on over there. I hope you're doing okay. Have you been back to the States at all lately, buddy? Have you been to the States at all?
I have not. My wife is a Muslim, and she was very disturbed by this.
I can only imagine.
And, you know, the people in New Zealand are just in shock, because it's a very isolated country. It's a very quiet, peaceful country here. And, you know, the last thing I want to say is that I think part of the problem is that there are so many simplistic labels that are being thrown around now, and we paint people in boxes, you know, like you're a Republican or you're a liberal, you know? And people are more complex than that, than Democrat or Republican or liberal and conservative. I mean, we're more complex, we're more complicated, and I do think to a certain extent part of the problem out there is the conservative media and the way they are selling a product. And I don't for a minute think that everyone on Fox News, for example, believes in the things that they are claiming. And it's certainly not fair and balanced. It frustrates me. I can't even watch it. It makes me so angry sometimes. I mean, they may have some good stories on there, but it's all one-sided. You know, it's the Trump Channel.
No.
It's state-run TV.
I understand what you're saying. A lot of people, of course, are going to disagree with that. I would say that MSNBC tiers trends a little bit to the other side, and CNN does a little bit too. But I think the problem is not as much to me when we talk about an incident like this. To me, it's not as much Fox News. It's Alex Jones and InfoWars and the really out there, the QAnon and all the crazy, crazy stuff where people are really putting out, you know, the insane theories. I mean, yes, Fox News is not fair and balanced, but I don't think they're advocating for this in the way that others are. And I think that's the scary part. The internet and all these places you can find whatever you want to find and find like-minded, deranged people to justify whatever thoughts you're having or to create more fervor. That's what really scares me out there. And there's not much in the technology that we have today that's going to limit that. People are going to keep finding more and more ways to get their hateful messages out. And so I think that goes back to what you were saying from the beginning, from the top and from our leadership. We need more of this is not right. This is not how things should be. And a stronger presence with that would certainly be nice. Robert, I appreciate you so much coming on the phone with us. Again, the book, American Intolerance, Our Dark History of Demonizing Immigrants. Our best wishes to you and your wife and everybody there in New Zealand. And thank you so much for your time, as always.
Look, thanks for having me. And how hard is it to call out white supremacy and hatred? People need to do it more.
We'll see if it gets better. Thank you so much, Robert. We got to get to the news here in a minute on 720 WGN.